President Bush meets British Prime Minister Tony Blair in Northern Ireland tomorrow. It will be their third meeting in just over 3 weeks, but strains in the alliance are beginning to show. Britons are starting to question how the war is being waged, and the two governments have different views on how Iraq should be governed after the fighting ends. NPR's Silvia Poggioli has more from London.
Britons, like Americans, have been saturated by TV images and sounds of war. The most upsetting reports are British deaths by friendly fire. Last week, an American pilot mistakenly attacked a British convoy, killing one soldier. One survivor described the American pilot as a cowboy who showed no regard for human life. Trooper Chris Finney also survived the attack.
I remember feeling scared, very scared. I just remember seeing the pilot, seeing his face and all that. Noticed it was an American plane, but I didn't want to believe it was. And everyone's waving at him. And then there was just a sense of helplessness, like there's nothing I could do about it.
Newspaper reports quote British officers dismayed by what they call American heavy-handed military tactics. Even pro-war newspapers began criticizing American behavior after several civilians were killed at checkpoints by American troops. The British pride themselves for their ability to win the confidence of local populations in other countries following decades of peacekeeping. British TV images show British troops on foot patrol without helmets and flak jackets. In contrast, American servicemen are shown in full combat gear and keeping civilians at arm's distance. Concern over the conduct of the war is seeping into the public mood on the streets of London. Carrie is a middle-aged woman visiting from Wales.
I do feel it's a bit gung-ho, and I think I'm concerned about the long-term effects and what they're going to do to stabilise the country after it all.
Londoner Sue Roberts also voices deep unease over the behaviour of American soldiers.
You know, they're a bit like a bull in a china shop, I'm afraid.
She worries that Britain has burnt its bridges with Europe.
I'm extremely worried about Blair and Europe, really, because I feel a part of Europe, and I just feel very, angry that it's all happened and that we might be isolated.
A large majority of Britons were opposed to war in the lead-up to the conflict, but then public opinion rallied around British troops in the early days of the war, and now the country is divided about 50-50. Richard Overy, professor of modern European history at London's King's College University, says Blair urgently needs to demonstrate progress to a public opinion sceptical about the Bush administration.
In the wider British public, there is a considerable degree of unease about the relationship. And if America then unilaterally decides that it will become the arbiter of events in the Middle East, I think this will be a problem for the British public.
The most contentious issue will be how Iraq will be governed once the fighting is over. For weeks, Tony Blair has pressed President Bush that the United Nations must play the key role in post-war Iraq. But U.S. officials reiterate that the U.S. intends to take the lead in shaping Iraq's political future. Blair will also press for publication and implementation of the so-called roadmap to Israeli-Palestinian peace. U.S. and British political differences came to the surface this week. British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw proposed a U.N.-sponsored conference for Iraqis to form an interim authority. In an interview with the BBC, Straw was asked how this squares with U.S. plans, already underway, that a retired American general will be in charge of post-war Iraq.
This is a proposal from the United States, or part of the United States administration. We are involved in discussions with the United States. What we want to see is a very, very swift transition from what will necessarily be a military occupation to a situation where we set up an interim Iraqi administration and then a more permanent one, which is a government of the Iraqis, for the Iraqis, by the Iraqis.
Straw added, this authority must be endorsed by the United Nations. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, London.